And the church, this is a big feast, the joyful feast, feast of the dedication of the Lateran Basilica in Rome. The official name or the full title of this ancient church in Rome is the Archbasilica of the Most Holy Savior and of Saints John the Baptist and John the Evangelist in the Lateran. It's a long title. It's one of the oldest churches in the world. It's one of the most venerable churches in the Catholic tradition. Naturally, we are celebrating its dedication, but we're doing much more than that because the church is more than just a collection of old buildings, as historic and as great as they may be. It's the church is the temple of God. The church is the body of Christ. The church is a temple which is a sign of the heavenly temple, the heavenly Jerusalem, a temple that will not be destroyed. So today is an opportunity for us to reflect on this very rich theme of the temple, including the temple of our own bodies. Each one of us is a temple of God. And that's why the theme chosen for today's Mass, as written on your song sheet, the Spirit of God dwells in us, his temple, in us, the church, and in each one of us individually. So there's a lot to celebrate, a lot to ponder. Now, it might seem like this is not at all a fitting topic to ponder in light of the tragedy that the Marcus family has just suffered. They're gathered here in the front of the chapel. John Andre Marcus just died on Monday, as I said, in a tragic accident. So the Marcus family is grieving, they're not celebrating. But I think the feast day is not that unconnected to the life of John Andre, because after all, his name is John, and today's the feast day of the Church of John the Baptist and John the Evangelist, so he has two great patrons. Andre is also a great patron, Saint Andrew. So, and even though the temple of his body has died, the temple of his spirit gone to be with God, and that's the whole purpose of having God dwell in us, right? Not so that our body will remain here forever, but so that we will live forever in God. And on the last day, our bodies too, the temple of our bodies too, will be raised up, glorified. That's the hope that we have, even in times of tragedy and grief. Well, let's reflect a little bit on this feast day, the dedication of John Lateran, or the Lateran Basilica. We can start by reflecting a little bit about buildings, and then we'll get to the theme of our own selves as a temple. Yes, it's an old building. It's an ancient building, and a certain modern attitude would ask the question, well, so what? There's a lot of big old buildings. It's not even that beautiful. You look at the picture on the front here, it doesn't look like a beautiful church to us. It looks like kind of like a government, looks like a government building. And the church on the left side there, and then next to it is what they call the Lateran Palace, and that's not very beautiful either. So you say, well, okay, why make a big thing out of this old building? That attitude is missing the mark, because even the secular world knows that buildings are important. Church buildings, even people without faith recognize the importance of church buildings. If you go to any historic site in any Western country, you'll find that old churches are part of the very nature of the culture. Make any tour of the Philippines, and you'll end up going to dozens or hundreds of old Spanish churches. Go to Intramuros. What's the highlight of Intramuros? San Agustin. San Agustin, 400 or more than 400 years old, that old church. Lateran Basilica is 1,000 years older, so much older. Or the Manila Cathedral, which is, the building there now is only, 70 years old, but it's been rebuilt 5 times. Because it's important to have a church as a sign of the presence of the church, as a place for the gathering of the church, as a sign of the heavenly Jerusalem. We have to have churches. So I just saw an update on the Notre Dame de Paris, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris that burned down about, that was before COVID, 2019 or 2018, whenever the big fire was, remember that? The ancient church, I think it's a 12th century church in Paris. Again, one of the most famous buildings in all of Paris and all of France, maybe other than the Eiffel Tower, that's the one people think of. And in France, they don't have much faith, and the church burned down. So did they say, oh, well, that's too bad, lost another one? No, they said, we're going to rebuild this church. We're going to restore it. We're going to make it like it was. And they've spent, I think, $700 million on the restoration of that old church, Notre Dame. And it wasn't the church that did the restoration. It was the French government. It was the secular world. And they got donations from all over the world saying, this is an important building. So the idea that, oh, it's just an old building. No. It represents not only a historical place. It represents culture. It represents history. It represents a family. It represents places. It represents the people. Centuries of events that have taken place there. So yes, historic buildings are important, and that's why we restore them. But buildings also fall apart. The Lateran Basilica has been rebuilt a number of times, like the Manila Cathedral, rebuilt a number of times. Notre Dame, it's gone through restoration after restoration. And in the end, all buildings are going to be torn down, including the temple in Jerusalem, which is just a fraction of what it used to be, just one wall remaining from the ancient temple. Meaning the buildings, as important as they are not the most important thing. The buildings represent for us the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in this gospel I just read, said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And they said, 3 days? It took us 46 years. The Notre Dame is taking 5 years, or 6 years, to restore after the fire. He said, 3 days. He was talking about the resurrection of his own body, the restoration of the body to eternal life, which is the hope for all of us. Our hope is not in buildings, but in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is also the hope for people who have lost a loved one. Yes. We grieve when someone dies, but we have hope in the resurrection. Okay, so buildings are important, but let's go to the more personal and deeper interpretation, which we're focusing on in our theme, the Spirit of God dwells in us, his temple. Just as a building we consider the house of God, well, each one of us is a house of God, a temple of God, a sacred space where God dwells or where God wants to dwell. The question is, are we dedicating this temple to God or not? Is this sacred space being used for sacred things or not? The temple in Jerusalem was being turned into a marketplace. The most sacred building in the whole Jewish tradition was being turned into a marketplace. And so when Jesus got there, he said, no, get this out of here. Get all these worldly activities out of here. This is supposed to be the house of my Father. Not the house of the world. So he cleansed the temple. Well, this is what we often need ourselves, because we ourselves, our own lives, our own bodies, are not being used for sacred purposes. We're allowing the world to reign instead of allowing God to reign. In our times, there's a growing mountain of evidence that one of the things plaguing people's inner lives is the dependence on social media. Just the other day, I read about a woman, this is a secular person, not a person of faith, who realized that she was living in anxiety all the time, in dread. She would wake up in the morning with fear and anticipating bad things to happen. And she said, this is no way to live. And so she read somewhere that the reason why she's having anxiety is because she starts her morning by looking at her phone and reading all the bad things in the world and seeing all the things on social media. And so she was starting her day with bad news, with things out of her control, and it was weighing her down psychologically. And so she said, okay, I'll stop doing that. And I said, this is not a woman of faith. She didn't start with prayer. She just stopped looking at her phone first thing in the morning. What did she do? She got up and took a walk with her dog. And her whole psychological life changed. She's no longer living in dread of each day. She starts out the day with something real, not virtual, something positive, not negative, and it helped her. Now, if that helps a person to walk her dog, how much more good would it do us to start our day with prayer? Not with the phone or the gadgets. Start with prayer. Start with God. Start with acknowledging that I'm a temple of God. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm welcoming the life of God in me. Start the day with the Word of God. Fill our hearts with something positive. In the evidence that I said, this mountain of evidence that social media is creating anxiety, it's one thing in adults who have the basic structure of their life in place. They have their marriage, have their family, have their work, have their education. And so what happens with adults is the social media tends to fill in all the gaps. It can even crowd out relationships, and that's been a problem for many people, including the relationship with God. But usually it doesn't make them lose their jobs or ruin their families, usually. It's much more serious with young people, teenagers and preteens, because they don't have structures, they don't have an identity established, they don't have any solid building blocks that won't change. Everything comes to them by the social media. I just saw yesterday, the government in Australia is considering legislation to ban social media for anyone under age 16. Absolute ban for anyone under age 16. Yeah, that's a little radical. People say, well, how could you even do it? The 14-year-olds, they live on their phones. If you take away the phone, they'll die. And that's how they feel. That's the whole point. And so far, see, the evidence is growing that that's why there's the epidemic of anxiety, depression, isolation, loneliness, and even suicidal ideas, because young people's lives are filled with virtual reality. They're not built on real reality. They don't even know who they are anymore. That's why they lose a sense of their own gender. They have no understanding of the meaning of their life. They don't have any real friends. And then they, of course, they're depressed. Now, what does that have to do with John Lateran Basilica? What does that have to do with the Basilica? The point is, each of us is a temple, and we're made for something, we're made for someone. This temple is made to be filled with God and all that is holy. If we allow the temple to be filled with something else, we're going to be depressed. If we turn the house of the Father into a marketplace, we're going to be depressed or anxious or isolated or live in dread. Of course, because we're using the temple for the wrong thing. So if the secular world is recognizing the problem of filling the temple with media, with the virtual world, if even the secular world understands it, we of all people of faith, should understand it better, that what we need is God. So I know many people, I do a lot of spiritual direction and I hear confessions, a lot of people, a lot of Christian believers, they start their day with their phones. I bet a lot of you do. Start first thing in the morning, wake up in the morning, look at your phone or your gadget or check your Facebook or your whatever, Instagram. A lot of people do that. Don't do that. Start the day with prayer. Start the day with God. And if you can't start the day with God, start with talking to your grandchildren or talking to someone in the family, some real person, real relationship. Start with admiring the sunrise or having a cup of coffee or doing something real and normal. Don't start with something virtual, because you're filling the temple with something that is going to crowd out the spaces for what is good and real and holy. But the first thing, of course, the most important thing, is God. Remember what we learned on Sunday. What's the first commandment? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. First commandment. Second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Do those two commandments, and the temple will be holy. The temple will be filled with God, filled with love. And if we're filled with love, we don't need to fill ourselves with the world, with the marketplace, with the media. We don't have to, because we have what is already fulfilling and satisfying and making us happy. So on the feast of John, on the feast of the dedication of Lateran Basilica, yes, we celebrate the historic building, but we also rededicate ourselves as temples of God, temples of the Holy Spirit, so that He can reign in us and through us in the world.